It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
Oh, back to the funk intro. That's my favorite. But I do like the variety. I think people are into it.
You say that every time.
I do. Well, the funk thing's my favorite, dude.
Ah.
It just happens. I'm that generation, man.
So you're getting excited. You're about a week out from Ten Commandments opening up big time.
Yeah. Wow. Big release. Go to a theater near you. Ten Commandments.
You're not going to pump people to do your
favor, go to a theater near you. It helps me. Please.
How's it help you exactly?
On the back end, if this thing's successful.
Oh, you're talking about monetarily benefits.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's
I can lay lay aside my shovel.
Is it good? Is it worth a $9 Metroplex ticket?
You know what? I think it is. They did the bang-up job. This is a neat one.
Well,
I had an interview with a guy from, I don't know what newspaper, it was back in Ohio or something like that.
Yeah.
And his question to me was, how is this version of the Ten Commandments different than the Charlton Heston, Cecil B. DeMille version? And I went, oh.
This is a cartoon.
Totally cool. Yeah, it's not a cartoon. Animated Shrek CGI.
I see. Trying to ride Shrek's coattails.
But we had a great discussion, especially after our last podcast. I said, you know what? I said, God in the Old Testament is typically viewed as sort of an angry, vengeful. He's kind of mad in the Old Testament. Thank God for the Jesus in the New. I said, this one tries to retemper that where you hear the desire in the heart of God for relationship and how he's not just an angry old God. And I said, we really try to bring out some of his friendship with Moses and the offer of God's voice to everybody. And the interviewee, I was that guy, the interviewer.
Okay.
He loved it. Wow. He said, that's great. I mean, we had the coolest talk. I don't have any idea where this guy is spiritually, but.
Did the interview show up in the paper yet?
I don't know. So. I don't live in Ohio. So if anyone's in Ohio and you see Brad Cummings, he wanted to know if I was a reverend or a pastor. And I said, he said, well, what title do you want? I said, how about Brad? He didn't know what to do with that.
That's no good.
He didn't know what to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
I was supposedly the theological expert, so. You know, Grand Poobah, Intergalactic Bishop of the Fourth Order.
Dr. Brad Cummings?
No.
Oh. MDiv Brad Cummings?
You could do that, but.
That's ugly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better than the demon. Demon Brad Cummings.
I never thought of that. That's very funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's
been out there for a while.
For those of you who don't know, that's the Doctor of Ministry degree. It's shortened to demon. So, yeah, which explains an awful lot going out there.
So, yeah, go to the Ten Commandments in theaters near you.
How would you stop
October
that?
October 19th.
I'm going to start charging you for advertising.
You
got to
put
podcast.
A banner up on our website, dude. It's cool graphics.
I don't have a banner.
I'll give it to you today.
You have to pay for it. It's
free.
We'll have to think about it. I'll have to run it past our finance people.
Okay. We agree. It's free. So you've been traveling. Where have you been, Wayne?
Oh, I was in New York and Pennsylvania.
New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just after you dished the whole Hershey people, you went and saw them?
Yeah, that was why I dished them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even they make fun of the chocolate there if they've been to Europe. If you haven't been to Europe, the chocolate's okay. You know, Hershey's all right. But if you've been to Europe, then it's just tough to... crawl into that.
Well, hey, welcome home.
Some wonderful people in that area for my, gosh, sixth time I've been there, which is way too much, but I don't usually go to the same place that many times, but this started as a school board issue rather than a hang out with Jesus people issue, but we also had to hang out with Jesus people, so that was fun.
That's cool.
And upstate New York was beautiful. It was just beginning shades of fall and
leaves turning colors and all that other stuff.
Yep, leaves turning color.
You know what that leads to, though?
Oh, Harry was very warm. It was in the 80s.
You know what the leaves turning colors lead to?
Death?
No, lots of raking.
Oh.
I've been there.
Okay, yeah, well.
Lots of raking.
My palm trees, they don't give me lots of raking.
I know, that's cool.
Yes. I miss it, though. I love the color. I wouldn't even mind raking a few leaves if we had some decent color down here in L.A. But we don't have it.
You get a jump in the leaves.
Yeah. But while I was in New York, I met the president of the Brad Cummings Fan Club.
Whoo, cool.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't even know who that is.
Well, you don't want to know.
I don't need to know?
No, she's from South Carolina. She came up to visit us in upstate New York.
Oh, beautiful.
Not just to, but she chewed me out. She said, I'm too hard on you.
I agree. I agree.
I told her you wouldn't even
Thank
agree
you,
with that.
Thank you, lady in South Carolina. Appreciate it very much.
Just stop it.
Keep those cards and letters coming. Wayne at thegodjourney.com.
She said you were almost in tears about Chipper dying, and I was mocking you. And she said I need to be gentler on you.
You do, because we just lost our two kitties.
Now, see, don't do that.
Yeah, we did. It's
don't
terrible.
Make a joke out of
it's
that.
It's not funny. I had to dig a hole in the backyard. It was not cool. I had three.
You seriously lost your two kitties already.
Some parvo virus, feline parvo stuff. They're right at the. We got them when they're so little. Yeah. And one of them was the runt, and I think she was infected, and unfortunately passed it to the other little kitty. So I had two kitties in a meltdown, and we learned everything there is to know about parvo feline stuff that they were supposed to get their inoculations for, but they weren't of age yet.
See, I would think now people who like cats...
We're going to go for dogs.
...would not want the Cummings to have more cats.
I don't.
You guys just can't be responsible with them.
Oh, wrong. You just stepped into it again.
Whatever.
The president of my fan club is going to be after you, dude. That
whatever. And that's a shout-out to my New York friends. We had some fun with the little whatever. So I told them I'd give you a little whatever on
it's
the podcast.
A little inside whatever.
And we got to play volleyball. And we got to talk about the journey and where people are at on it, and that was fun.
Cool.
And I played golf in Pennsylvania with a guy who's, I thought it was a little humorous. He's the worship director of a pretty large event.
Uh-huh.
Like about 6,000, 7,000
people. Megachurch event?
Yeah, 6,000, 7,000. Loving it.
Playing
loving
golf.
It.
And loving it.
They put me in a golf cart with him, so that was fun. I thought I'd try and... see where how deep at the end of the pool he might want to swim in, because the people who set up the golf match just said this guy, you know, he's in a place where, you know, he's really enjoying all the benefits that are coming from his vocation, but at the same time really looking at some interesting perspectives, and felt like it was really open. So we're talking about him early on, and you know what their fellowship's all about, and he was giving me, you know, we're really just nuts about the commandment, you know, that love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbors yourself, and talking about how that reinforces everything they do. And so as we got out about third or fourth hole, I said, yeah, that's scripture you were talking about earlier. He said, yeah. I said, I think that's Old Covenant or New.
Well, you're playing with him theologically.
He goes, well, it's from the Old Testament, but since Jesus used it, I'm thinking it's New Covenant. And I said, yeah, you would think that unless he superseded it with something else. He goes, wow, I never thought of that. And then we got out of our carts to hit golf shots.
And how did he hit the next one? Did he duff it?
No, he did all right. He did all right with that. But we didn't talk any more about that.
You're serious?
Didn't go any further.
He just left it in the air.
Well, I don't know that he didn't get distracted by the golf shot, but...
Did he start walking and you had to drive the rest of the lane?
No, we were good friends. We were talking. But, I you know, I'm always, you know, I'm not for jumping on people in the middle of the parade. When I was 32, which he was, I thought I had all the answers to everything. I thought everything I was doing was perfect. So I hope I just...
Did you put a pinhole in his balloon?
No. It wasn't that. I just drew a little funny face on his balloon. I didn't pop it. It's still there. He's still a happy guy.
So what are you getting at? Is older new? Is it superseded? What?
Well, I think when
What's
Jesus...
What's the secret esoteric wisdom that you have there, Sir Jacobson?
Well, I'm seeing in a clearer way how that statement, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, Jesus uses it, but he only uses it when he's trying to describe what's the epitome of the Old Covenant. The epitome of the Old Covenant...
Summarizing the Old
...is a command
covenant.
To love.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious. I could no more command you to love me than I could command, you know, my dogs to type out the Declaration of Independence.
I don't think Sheba could do it.
No, neither one of them could do it. It's just unopposable thumbs or whatever it is that makes that complicated. The point is, love as a command is bizarre. I can't command you to love me. I can't command anyone to love me.
I'll try really hard way, but you know how challenging that is.
Oh, everybody I know knows how challenging. I could even hold a gun to your head and tell you to love me. And you know what? You could pretend to love me. You could act like it as long as I have a gun to your head. But you really, love is not about that. And I think when Jesus gets to John 13, he said, I'm going to give you a new command. And this came up on the forum. I was going to be talking about the old new covenant and Nephilim and all the strange stuff you were on drugs about.
Someone thought I was stoned.
Yeah, well, someone thought you should be. It came up both ways.
Hallelujah.
But when Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new command. Now, this is, I just want you to go love. But the deal here is different now. As you've been loved. So the deal first is you've got to be loved. It's not that I've got to love God. It's that God loves you, and you need to come into the reality of that love and affection. When you do that, you're going to know how to turn around and live with other people. And I think that is such a better expression of the new covenant. Because I'm telling you, when I think about how I'm going to wake up today, and I'm going to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, and I don't even know how to start that day. I got to be honest with you. I don't. What does that mean? All my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if I'm working out on my stationary cycle this morning, I'm giving some of my strength to that. So, you know, it's just...
An idol in your life, Lee.
I've been saying this for years. Believe me, I'd throw it out of my life, but I'm going to the doctor tomorrow for one of those 54-year-old checkup things.
Oh, wonderful. You know,
they're
going to
poke,
awesome.
Poke and probe in places.
You can call me later and tell me how it was.
But I think it's so somehow to get an understanding of what it is that Jesus offered us. And it wasn't what we're going to do first for him, which is always the old covenant was, here's what we're going to do for you.
You know, it's so wild. I think this kind of connects in. The other day, I saw this little promo late at night. They're, you know, advertising the Today Show. And they showed a snippet of this dude in, like, old, you know, Testament Hebraic garb.
I saw a picture in the paper.
The Year of Living Biblically. Yeah. And they made the Ten Commandments. So I perked up because we're in big promo mode. And so I was like, ooh, Ten Commandments.
Wow.
Is
a little
this is cool.
Synergy media stuff here, huh?
And so I
that's the third mention of the Ten Commandments, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get to 12 by the
$100
end.
A crack.
Crack smokers can do this. It's all right. In the midst of what's going on, they do this wonderful little interview. Matt Lauers is asking him. And what was so great is it wasn't a negative one. It was sort of positive. But Matt Lauers kind of like, so, how'd it go? You know, were you able? And it wasn't that he did just the Big Ten. Everyone can kind of do the Big Ten. It's like he tried to follow the minutiae.
Of what to eat, what to wear, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was
not shaving.
And I think it was, you know, tongue in cheek. When they had the background music, it's dun dun. You just go like, okay, not really taking it seriously. Nice promo for his book.
A little hokey.
But the question Matt Lauer asks is like, all right, so was there within this whole year, was there a 24-hour period where you could actually do this? And you kind of, he was asking the, you know, begging the question like, so you got a day, right? And the guy's response is, no, not one. I was so aware of how much I sin and I lie and I do things wrong every day. And the guy wasn't all like, you know, condemning. He just says, man, what an absolute revelation. I had no idea just how much bad stuff I do every day. And I'm totally aware of that.
Wow.
And here's this pregnant moment where it's like, oh, that is what that law is supposed to reveal. The darn sucker works great.
On your best day,
yeah.
You can't do it.
And in the midst of that pregnant moment that just needed somebody who knew Jesus to kind of jump in and say, ta-da, here's a real value of who this person is, that moment just totally swept by. I sat there in my living room like,
me, call me. I've got a movie I want to promote on the Today Show.
No, I did. I called a couple agent people. I said, get us as a follow-up. So they're all trying to talk to the Today Show. It's funny.
Oh, you didn't use Wes for that, did you?
Yes, I did.
You're a dog.
First phone call I've made.
Dog.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Wes, we apologize. Some guys have no restraint.
It's working fine.
Well, we had some wonderful email about the Freedom Podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's, I did anyway. One time. People obviously don't write you.
I declared email bankruptcy a few podcasts ago. It's pointless.
Well, one thing I thought we'd clear up. Michael in Alberta, one of the guys I went and saw up there, we were last day, and we were talking about them moving from Anglicanism to kind of an independent deal.
Less than Anglicanism.
Yeah. He said it would have been a mistake to call their Anglican thing high church, which I think I did. Because when you're Baptist, anything with the word Anglican on it.
It's high church.
I don't care what they're doing in there. They could be throwing mud at each other and it's going to be sounding like high church stuff. But he said
to all the Baptists, we now apologize for that characterization.
So just truth in advertising. We didn't want to let people think
not
they made
high church,
a bigger jump
English
than they
church.
Made. But I still think they made some
English
great
church.
Jumps. Anyway, at the end of his email, he said, he's talking about a basic discipleship course they used to teach all the time. He says, oh my goodness, all made so much sense in light of a twisted, power-hungry, narcissistic God who was so legal on every point that one mistake meant being rejected. Oh man, I don't miss those days. Isn't that amazing? Gosh, that's a great statement. That whole works. If God is, what do you say here? If God is twisted, power hungry, and narcissistic, then that old discipleship program would have worked.
A few pastors I know.
But if God's not that, then what are you going to do?
You know, I do think that people have sort of like a fundamental confusion as it relates to, I mean, just as simple as the Ten Commandments. It's like, oh, these rules must be really important to God. And it's like, is that what we're supposed to take away? Are we supposed to look at the unveiling of the law, which I think is wisdom? It's
absolutely
God giving us wisdom.
And are they important to God? Yes.
Yeah.
The objectives of them, yes.
But what's the objective?
Making us pure like Him.
Okay, but is the law going to accomplish
that?
No,
that's the point. The law's not the process. The law's the ideal. The law's the hope. We've turned it into the big teacher with a big stick beating us over the head every day.
I know, and it's like when I think it was brilliant what you were bringing up. When Jesus said, you know, a new commandment I give to you, He's sort of saying, look, you got to start in your own place of kind of bankruptcy that you can't do this. I'm asking you to do this as it's been done in you. And so He's trying to say it's time to put a little different gas in your tank. That whole idea of self-effort,
yeah,
I'm going to do this for God, that whole system of man's effort is utterly bankrupt.
It doesn't work.
Utterly. I mean, the Today Show proved it.
But it doesn't change what God wants to produce in us. God wants us to share in His holiness. God wants us to share in the reality of who He is. Now, what I love about what we sort through with the law is not, okay, well, the law was bad, it didn't work, we throw it out. No, the law shows us God's heart. But it wasn't the process to get there. I can't get there by performance. I've got to get there by knowing Him, being transformed by Him, living well. I think all sin, as my friend Dave from the Jake book says, that all sin is simply grabbing for ourselves that which God has not given us. We've talked about that here before.
Yeah.
Once love replaces our sense of being unloved, sin loses its hold on us, and we get to participate in the increasing fruitfulness of God's righteousness. So the goal is still the same. The goal hasn't changed. But the process is now something that we actually can participate in and actually can be transformed by.
Yeah, it isn't, you know, a 12 steps to a better me I can work. It's sort of like, you know what? It's called a new you from the inside out.
Yep.
If this doesn't take as a seed inside, gets planted and bears root and start to grow up and give fruit, the reality is unless that transformation takes place and my life really is now being expressed by the power of an indestructible life that's now being lived out of me, it doesn't work. It's just religious fruit and trappings.
Yeah, that's why resorting back to rules and rituals is what something that's just so dangerous for people. Because you can participate in those for years. I sit down with lots of people on this trip who have been some of those passionate believers who've tried to live by every New Testament principle and discipline for years and years and years. And at the end of it, they're going, but I don't know God. I don't know Him. I've jumped through all the hoops, taught the Sunday school lessons, eldered things, been in charge of stuff.
And He owes me some blessing is what's the unspoken dynamic is. I've been a good boy. Where's my stuff?
Well, some of them at this point are just flat mad they've been lied to that long by people that said they needed to jump through hoops and the hoops would guarantee the result that it hasn't guaranteed. So that's been a problem.
But don't, I mean, in all fairness, and I'm not indicting them, I'll indict myself, I think we lie to ourselves a little bit. It's a whole lot easier to put a little set of goals out in front of me and try to achieve those.
No, absolutely.
That gives me strokes. Even if I don't have a fan club that's watching.
Yeah, and even if I don't keep them all, if I keep more of them than you, I still get to feel better.
Yeah,
than you.
It gives me a sense of achievement, which is, in the context of getting to know someone, you don't really look at that in terms of achievement. We have a warped kind of view that we have in our culture that we look on life, and I don't think we have a value that is preeminent that places the value on relationship.
No, we don't end up with that at all.
It's purpose-driven, this, that, and the other, and the only friendships that are really valuable are the ones that are in keeping with my purpose. And you're just going like, oh gosh, I think people have value in and of themselves.
Yeah, in fact, religion makes you somewhat competitors with people. That's why it doesn't produce real deep friendships. It's competitors. If I need something from you, I'm going to get it. And when I don't, you're done. I'm going on. It doesn't produce because we're all competing for God's affection with each other. Who's more spiritual? Who's more theologically accurate? Who's more gifted at X, Y, or Z? It's just crazy.
So where do we go for now?
Well, I like how Tom goes. Tom from Alabama wrote us. This is a great letter. He said, I love the Free Indeed podcast. It really spoke to my wife and I. We didn't listen to it until yesterday, Monday. It was really good stuff. Now to the funny story. This happened before I heard the podcast. I took a little nap Sunday afternoon, and when I got up, everybody was gone. Linda leads the youth praise team, and both of my kids are in it. Dave plays, anyway. And they had gone to practice, so I decided I'd mow my backyard. It takes about an hour with my push mower. I was about halfway done when I saw one of the families from down the street heading to their Sunday night service. I thought, crap. Now they've seen me working on the Sabbath. This is hilarious. Now they've seen me working on the Sabbath, which if you really think about it, isn't the Sabbath at
all. Saturday.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Come
on. Sunday, so you're fine anyway. But anyway, what are you going to think? What are they going to think? I could say that my ox was in a ditch if they asked. Now that floored me. I sat down on my porch and just shook my head. I can't believe how ingrained some of these legalistic, rule-based habits and thoughts are. And I was there recently, too. I would sit in judgment of my neighbors when I saw any of them on a Sunday morning in their yards or skipping church or having a cookout or going fishing, et cetera, et cetera. Where do these things hide? When I thought I had processed through all the legalism, there evidently are still layers that need to be peeled away before it is just me and Father. Peel away, Papa. Peel away. So I got up, cranked the mower, and laughed as I continued mowing. Then thinking to myself, I said, I need to email Wayne and tell him that I'm mowing my grass on a Sunday. And that is a huge step for a fellow recovering Pharisee. That's hilarious. Wow.
Hey, I mow my grass on Sunday, too.
Do you really? I refuse to. I just
you don't mow your grass. I think Sarah does.
Sarah does. Sarah mows my grass when I'm gone more than a week. But, no, I usually do it on Tuesdays. This week it's Thursday. I refuse to give up my weekend of mowing the lawn. I do it at lunch hour on Tuesday or Thursday.
Oh, there you go.
That's the day the yard doesn't
sprinkle. So you feel better then.
I feel great. Yeah, Marty from Maryland said this. By the way, I love, love, love today's podcast about freedom. We have an email group for homeschooling God Journey folks. This very subject was being discussed earlier this week. One mom had written, I get the whole ditch the institution thing. I do. I get it big time. But what we seem to have been left with is nothing. It makes me wonder if I had a relationship with the Lord at all. That's what we were talking about earlier. You know, when you see through all that stuff and you ditch it and you say, gosh, all that stuff. I think of Dave Fredrickson's group up in Sacramento when they finally were decentralizing. I said, what? I'm going to have to listen to God for myself? That was the guy's response.
Has it come to that?
I don't want to do that. And years of walking in it hadn't led to that kind of freedom. So we've been having some really fruitful discussion, very similar to what you and Brad talked over. So when the podcast came out today, two of us immediately told everyone they had to down at least this one episode and give it a listen. It really confirmed what Father was sharing with all of us on the list.
It's interesting. Kelly and I, my wife and I, were having a discussion last night, and we were talking about, you know, some of these things. And she's actually enjoying herself reading through the Jake book, you know, so you don't want to go to church anymore. And she's looking at all this.
Yeah, was that cost me $100 too?
Yeah, so we're even.
I see what we're doing. Now, but turn to the Ten Commandments again. That's another $100 for you. I'm sorry, let's go back to Kelly.
Stop. So in the midst of all this, it's like we're talking about, you know, why people are doing what they're doing. And even in the context of raising little ones, it's like it's not as if we're not supposed to, you know, help them understand some of the elemental truths and principles and stuff like that. But I said, honey, if you remove what is the biggest sort of carrot or stick most people put in front as far as to get saved, I said, they're really trying to give people fire insurance. If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. And it's like, then you need rules because those help reinforce that. See, the reason you're going to hell is you can't do all of these.
Right.
And so none of this is about the gloriousness of who Jesus is.
Yep.
And the sake that he's worth loving for just who he is. And you just go like, people aren't getting saved to a person. They think they're getting saved from, fire and brimstone. And you're just going like, gosh, what if that really isn't the point at all? And then what do you do with the rules? Well, the rules aren't supposed to drive you to hell and then scare you to Jesus. But that's how it's used.
No, not all the time.
And you're just going like, and does that make for really great disciples? No, it doesn't. It makes for good, well-intentioned rule keepers that are frightened of this God who's angry at them.
And it really scares people from even thinking outside that box of things.
Oh, because that'll ding you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll send you back to hell.
You could lose your fire insurance now.
Yeah.
And this explains why probably this detox process takes some time. I heard we came up with a great new term for believers that are kind of thinking outside the box of organized religion. I like this term. It's really more positive. We were actually in a restaurant, and we were looking at the menu, and one of the wines on the menu, which we didn't order because, you know.
Okay, your rule keeper's
rule keeper, dude, man. I don't drink. No, I just don't like wine. Anyway, it said free range wine.
Free range.
And I'm going, how is a wine free range? I'm understanding what chicken can be. The grapevines.
These are grapes that just go anywhere, pal.
Yeah, grapevines aren't usually. I grew up on a vineyard, man. Grapevines aren't in a pen.
Free range
grapes. So we had a great discussion over free range grapevines. And we thought, you know, that's probably a better description.
Free range believers.
Just free range believers.
Yeah,
just,
maybe.
There's free range in it. And that's kind of contemporary, and it's kind of a health food thing, and it kind of means you're not being raised on fertilizer and herbicides. You're just a free range believer. And so when people ask me, where does it you go to church? I might just start saying, I'm a free range believer. What does that mean?
They're not sure if to give you grape nuts or give you a cowboy hat with that one.
You could, but I like the whole free range thing. I mean, the old cowboy days and, you know, open range and
free
all
range believers, man.
Free range. We got this from Randy in Honduras. I got it this morning. I thought it was wonderful. He said, my family and I serve on the mission field. I cannot tell you the journey Father has brought us on, leading us into a greater revelation of his goodness and grace. It has blown me away. We recently read The Shack, and boy, what a story. And did God ever open our eyes and his nature more than ever before? I served as a pastor in the States for 24 years before coming here 3 years ago. And boy, am I ever glad to be out. Yeehaw!
That sounds like
a free ranger, doesn't it? I enjoy your writings and podcasts. They're fresh streams for us here in Honduras. My goodness.
I tell you, this thing goes everywhere.
Freedom is a pretty... it doesn't go to China right now. They blocked us there. We don't not get...
We're blocked in China?
We are blocked in China.
Well, someone's got to change that.
Somebody was just going in and they said, can we
get
some of
your... If they can hack future podcasts, I'm sure somebody can get past the Great Wall in China. No?
I don't know. I don't know the rules.
We need a Chinese
person
for that.
There's some way to block websites coming into the country, and they just block it. You can even know how to get to it, and it's blocked. So,
what'd you say, Wayne? What'd you do? It wasn't me. I was stoned.
No, it was a couple things. I got a notice from the ambassador from China to Los Angeles. He said it was some comments you made about Nephilim or something. And we can make some hype jokes here, but I don't think it would be wise at all. No, actually, some people were going and they said, can we take some CDs of your podcast stuff in there so we can, you know, just pass them around China because they can't get it anymore. So, yeah, we loaded them
up.
We
could at one time, though.
Yeah, we did for a long time. And somehow we got on the radar screen
of
them saying that's a dangerous podcast for people. Freedom. Probably the word freedom just kind of blows the mind of them Chinese leaders.
Do you think that's what most people really want?
Freedom?
Yeah.
No, I think it scares them to death.
Yeah. See, I think that's why being frightened of hell and following rules and working a system, frankly, for a lot of people, is a whole lot more attractive. Because it is a little bit disorienting to try to just relate to this, quote, invisible God.
Yep.
If you know, you kind of don't know him.
Yep.
So what do you say to that person that's going like, okay, I'm getting the free range believer thing. I kind of want out of my pen. I'm recognizing that and its fruitlessness. What do I do now?
You fall on your face. Falling on my face is good. I do that a lot. That's just a great way to start anything.
You got to tie your shoes, pal.
No, that's not the problem. I'm usually not wearing shoes, particularly out here.
So what does someone do? I mean, just some starting point.
I think you just go on a journey with God, and you just put your heart before him, and you say, God, I'm tired of all the rules. I'm tired of trying to perform everything for you. I'm tired of not knowing the difference between what's true and what's false. And I want you to begin to teach me, and I want you to begin to lead me, and I want my whole life to be in your hands. And I think it starts exactly where Jesus said it started. It starts with God, will you show me how much you love me? Would you begin to make sense of that in my life as I go forward? And I think that's critical. Without that, then the Christian
you can't get
life,
anywhere.
All the it's just propositional. We're still talking principles, even if they're, you know, free range principles or out of the box principles. We're still talking propositions,
not a person,
and principles and intellectual mind games and trying to wrap my head around this point of view or that point of view. In the end, if it's not a God we wake up to and a God we begin to see and to enjoy and to embrace, if it's just this invisible entity. There was a comic in the paper reading all the old papers since I've been gone the last 2 weeks, and there was one where these two birds were standing on the front walk of a house, and the bird just answered the door and said, "We'd like to talk to you about the big invisible bird in the sky."
Did they have bicycles?
No, I don't think it was a Mormon shot. I think it was the whole idea of, why do you keep talking about this thing that no one can see and no one can know? So we're going to talk to you about the big invisible bird in the sky. And I just sat there and thought, that is the funniest thing. That's how it feels to so many people.
I love that. Wow.
I looked to see the little name tags on their little chested feathers, but they didn't have no name tags.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
See, but isn't it, the New Testament is so different. You got the apostles saying, hey, these are things that our eyes have beheld, our hands have touched. These are the things that we're declaring to you.
Yeah, we're not talking about big invisible bird in the sky.
Isn't that so bizarre?
Yeah. But that's how most people feel it. I'm serious, because in the whole religious stuff, people get little tastes. I don't know of anybody, even unbelievers, that wouldn't, if you're honest about it, have you ever had a moment when you knew you weren't alone in the universe? And almost everybody can say, yeah, I was like 5 years old or 12 or 18 or 37 or whatever. But for most of us, that's not every day. That's not even every year. That's not even every couple of years. And so the feeling is, it gets to be like, okay, when I talk about God and Jesus, it's like talking about your little invisible friend in kindergarten. You know, I get this dude, but he is real enough to make himself known. And when we pray that kind of prayer that says, God, would you reveal yourself to me? Would you make yourself known? I don't think that's a prayer that, you know, gets answered in the next day or two. I think that's a lifetime journey of growing to see what God wants me to see, to experience Him the way He wants me to experience Him, and to share that journey with other brothers and sisters. And I don't think it's just overnight, boy, it's all fixed now, I'm better. But there's that growing, I want to grow in Father's affection and the grace that He gives, and I want to learn to think like He thinks, and that's going to take some time. And I'm going to have the tendency to fall off that road now and then, back into some rules and things that make me feel fleshly safer.
I think the thing that's the biggest challenge is that is a ready available substitute that nearly all the quote, in quotes, followers are suggesting you do. Because as opposed to making this sense of I know God for myself and He's real, as opposed to making that normative, that's been sidelined as if, well, that's kind of... That might happen, but, well, it's not essential.
That's right.
It's like,
in the meantime, follow the rules.
Yeah, it's like, so, you know, well, we're not so sure about that. You could get deceived. And so, here, just follow these rules. That is the ready available substitute that is probably the hardest thing to sort of step away from, because if you deny their little list, they're looking at you like, well, you're not one of us. And it's like, you gotta, and so it's like, in the midst of all this, how do you just walk out?
If
God, revealed as a person, doesn't become normative and essential again, whereas if you read the pages of the New Testament, the people in there that were saved, it didn't seem to me like they were wondering. They knew it. Right. There was an encounter someplace, somewhere, that took them from wondering to, oh.
And even people who didn't believe it yet, who observed from the outside, could see it happening.
Yeah.
The Simon guy saying, give me that gift that you're doing
yeah.
here. Because I could sell this thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's got to come back where it's like, look, as opposed to putting a definition of what that is, the reality is it's got to become real. This is not the make-believe invisible bird in the sky.
Yes. And living with the living God is not the extra little bonus you get if you're really a good Christian down the road. It is day one experience. When I hang out with a group of folks, my passion is Let's come to know this God. Let's not figure out church. Let's not figure out all the little things we want to figure out. Let's come to know Him as a reality. And what does that take? And how does that reshape my thinking? And how do I learn to hear? People tell me, God never speaks to me. Well, He does.
We don't hear it because
we've not tuned into it. And that, you would think, if all our little non-free-ranged clubs really understood the essence of the gospel, that wouldn't be secondary. That wouldn't be other than the first day you're here, the first day we interact with you. We want to help you come to know the God we know. Not, we want to help you find your place in the pew, the work you can do
plug
to make
you
our
into
organization.
The ministry.
Yeah, to make you. We want you to know Him, and until you do, don't even think about doing anything else. Don't even sweat the other stuff.
Don't try.
Yeah.
Because we're not setting up another hurdle. This is not a new performance treadmill to run on and exercise on. This is like, you know what? There's nothing that you can do to make it happen other than your availability and being unwilling to accept anything less. I mean, I sort of think that... Yeah. When we choose to say, well, you know, I'm kind of tired and it hasn't happened, so I'll just downshift to the principles. You may be on that road forever, and I don't know that it circles back. Hmm. And it's like, you know what? Don't go down that road. Just sit there and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I feel pretty inept. I'm not even sure if you were here, if I'd recognize it. But somehow, you've got to come past my inabilities here and make yourself real. Now, is God able? I would tend to say absolutely 100%. I'm pretty sure whatever insufficiency I have at knowing how to even discern this, He's bigger than that.
Exactly.
And it's just being unwilling to accept any other substitute.
And I guess a big hurdle for people then would be the disappointment is why hasn't happened before now for me. Especially if I'm someone that's, you know, been after it for even a few months or years. And I think that's, or if I've been really, you know, I think I'm biblically astute and I've got this going and that going. Why isn't that happening for me yet? Why don't I know what you guys are talking about yet? And I think that disappointment is a big hurdle for somebody.
Yeah.
But if it's there, it's just, I don't know if there's an answer to it. Just don't worry about it. Just don't get focused on why it hasn't happened yet. Wake up today and say, God, let's start today fresh, and let's see how this begins to make itself real in me.
Well, there is something that Jesus said to, you know, I think it was John the Baptist's disciples, and blessed are you who keep from stumbling over me. It's like, to some degree, that sense of disappointment, that sense of, wait, why didn't it happen for me? I mean, here's John in prison going like, I'm not sure this is really the Messiah. I don't get why I'm in prison. And what's, you know... And Jesus gives his calling card for messiahship. All these things are happening. But the reality is, but John, I'm not delivering you from your prison. If anyone deserved to be delivered from their little predicament, I would think John would be at the top of the list. Greatest born among women. Yeah. He was like, wow. Well, in the midst of that, I do think there's an element of, you know what? I have to come to God kind of empty. And that means laying aside your disappointment as well. I don't have an answer for it, but I know it's real. That is a huge stumbling stone for a lot of people. They just go like, but, and it's like, you know what? I don't know how to answer that one for you. I think the only one who could would be the one you're disappointed in.
It's kind of like looking through that knot hole of our pain and not being able to get enough grasp on who He is. And I think that was a theme in the shack. And I think that's true, whether it's our disappointments, whether it's our pain, whether it's whatever, God's going to work all that out. And somehow, I don't know that He works all that out first. I think He makes Himself known in spite of all that.
Yeah.
And then begins to unravel it.
Yeah.
And then you get to be...
A free range
a chicken. A free ranger.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.